distracted and excited, but mostly distracted. News of Proxima Centauri approaching its solar maximum has grabbed everyone's attention, and no one on Hutton Orbital can think of anything else. As everyone heads down to the observation deck, there is a lot of chatter and speculation about the forthcoming light show in the sky. Some expect the greens and purples of old Earth, while others have concocted theories about rainbow aurora and farting unicorns. On the observation deck itself, stalls are set up along the back wall, selling ice creams, where you can add aurora-coloured toppings, sun-fried chips, and balloon animals with strangely shaped... Never mind. That's just Gusto doing what he always does. Even Eddie Lee Wyson's sons, plus his daughters, have a concession selling solar flares for the fashion-conscious commander. The big clock at the end of the wall shows a countdown. It's nearly time. A warning klaxon sounds and everyone rushes to the window, almost tipping the station over on its end as they try to get a glimpse of nature's majesty. The countdown reaches zero and the station holds its collective breath. And holds it. And starts to turn blue, so has to let it go. Confused, some of the locals consult their data slates, and realization draws. It turns out you don't see aurora in space. Disappointed and angry, the crowd prepares to riot, producing shivs from jacket pockets and makeshift cudgels from down the front of trousers. Maybe Gusto's balloon art isn't that far off the mark at all. Everyone sizes up likely targets and awaits an appeal for calm as a signal to start swinging for one another. But instead, the emergency lighting system switches to disco mode, and a voice on the tannoy says,
"Our makes are live."
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show. I'm Rudolf Hooker's stunt double. Now, I said stunt, and you can get about space lights because all of the brightest stars are in here with me. Just not him. Who writes this crap? Anyway, joining me tonight are...
I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I get space weather sent directly to my data slate. Oh.
I'm your Hooker's...
Cold and dark again.
Oh, I'm your Harkness, and I'm feeling a bit bilious. Does that count as space weather?
I'm Norma Snuckers, and I've forgotten more about radio waves and the aurora than most people know. It's just a shame it was in the important stuff I forgot. 96.1 for radio, BBC Radio Cumbria, by the way.
And I'm Sandy Crevice. I was hoping for a riot so I could have a go at someone with this giant bar of Toblerone I picked up on my travels. It's pretty heavy. Feel this.
Right, stop it, or we'll put you back on the luggage carousel. I think we'd better make a start on the headlines before things get out of hand.
The sound of spheres.
What's a buff bat, you ask? Yes, I know.
It's all gone quiet. Too quiet.
Pets in need? Look no further than 0.22 light-years away.
And Hutton is always in need of BGS shenanigans.
Fresh on the heels of the can we do the Hutton run in under 30 minutes while at the same time cooking baked potatoes on the flight deck challenge, an eccentric group of commanders have been taking music making to galactic heights. Having dug out an old article from the early days of exploration of the Sol system, and in particular Earth's moon, an enterprising commander noted a number of comments about a crashed lunar module, causing the moon to ring like a bell. The seismometers installed between 1969 and 1977 recording shallow moonquakes caused by human activity ringing for nearly an hour after impacts were detected. A phenomenon that does not normally occur on atmospheric planets. Picking up a number of articles related to the tuning of traditional bell and clapper jobs as usually used in big towers that go bong on the hour, and doing a little mathematics, this scientific team determined that by using just the right amount of percussive force on moons of different sizes, they could quite literally create the music of the spheres. Cue a year-long exploration of the galaxy, firing probes at the surfaces of moons and measuring the ringing of them when impacted, via seismographs installed on the surface, and detailed analysis of the effect on the local gravity of the moon, they've devised a number of complex formula that predict, based on composition size and, of course, bumpiness, what the ringing would sound like. As with a traditional bell on Earth, there are multiple tones to a ringing moon. First, there's the prime bong, the waves as a result of the initial impact. Then the tierce, also known as the minor third, the quint, perfect fifth, and of course the hum of the impact and the nominal. All very complicated. And there was born the galactic art of astrocampanology. Get enough moons of the correct size, composition, and bumpiness, and enough clappers to cause them to ring, and you've got a space carillon that can't be heard unless you tune into the right satellite frequency. What are they using as clappers? Asps. Asp clappers. We look forward to their rendition of the 1812 with real shipboard cannon and, of course, the symphony of a lot of big asp clappers slapping into moons and making them ring. We look forward to their next escapade, moon tuning, adjusting the topography of uninhabited moons to deliver just the right note. Moons being used for the teensy, tiny little bells. Whatever note they make with their ship impacts, we're sure they'll eventually manage to be flat.
In an unprecedented move that has left the galactic anti-Thargoid community scratching their heads, the Pilots Federation has announced that in a rare two-handed operation, they'd be swinging both the Nerf Bat and the Buff Bat at combat payouts. Next week's update will see some payouts drastically reduced, while others have been inexplicably increased, leading to widespread confusion among combatants. The AX pilots, who risk life, limb, and sanity in skirmishes against the Thargoid menace, have reported they expect a significant decrease in earnings, or maybe an increase from certain high-risk engagements. Commanders engaging Thargoid scouts, for instance, are now finding their hard-earned combat bonds worth about as much as a space station's cafeteria coupon. It's like being paid in Monopoly credits, remarked one disgruntled pilot. Conversely, some engagements have seen their potential rewards soar to astronomical heights. Encounters with Thargoids now come with payouts so generous that some commanders are questioning the fiscal sanity of the Pilots Federation. I took down a Medusa and could almost afford my own starport, joked one veteran pilot, Smax McKenzie, moments before attempting to do exactly that. Norma Snockers, a resident expert on all things inexplicable, attempted to shed some light on the situation. Norma Snockers. Shedding light.
Flossie.
Flossie!
Yes, it appears the Pilots Federation is using a complex algorithm that combines Thargoid threat levels, pilot skill, and perhaps the phase of the moon to determine payouts.
He explained.
Or they might just be drawing numbers out of a hat. It's really hard to tell.
The community's response has been mixed. While some commanders are thrilled at the prospect of potentially lucrative encounters, others are frustrated by the unpredictability. The fluctuation in payouts has made it difficult for pilots to plan their finances, leading to a sharp increase in sales of budget fuel scoops and second-hand modules. In an attempt to clarify the new payout structure, the Pilots Federation have released a statement saying, "Our goal is to ensure that the rewards are balanced with the risks involved. We will continue to monitor and adjust payouts as necessary. This did little to alleviate the confusion, as many pilots are now unsure whether to equip their ships for battle or for an elaborate game of chance.
We have begun week 93 of Too Hot, Too Messy, the Hutton Trucker initiative to deliver mods, mitigating Hutton mugs and Centauri Megagin to every starport in the galaxy, and things are slowing. Initially, there was a lot of fanfare and mafficking with commanders rushing off to secure their names against high-profile stations and amusingly named surface bases. But with time and the discovery that there were a lot more stations than we realised at first, numbers dropped off to leave a core of hardened and determined pilots. These headstrong few have been dropping their load at each and every place they could find a landing pad and a commodity market for nigh on 2 years, now flying everything from stripped out sidewinders to stuffed pythons and everything in between. So let's just take a moment to acknowledge everything they have done so far to stop the spread of mods across the inhabited space. Having said that, the shiftless, lazy bastards only delivered 329 mugs and gin last week. Well, I suppose it's the holiday season after all. That'll be all on New Africa. They'll be all on New Africa drinking a shot every time Mitra and Hollow goes overhead while their flight suits go through an industrial dry cleaning and decontamination process. In all seriousness, well done to everyone who has contributed and those who continue to do so. There have been no new additions to the 1000 Club this week. NZGL is still the closest contender at 862 mugs and gin delivered. Commander Chicks is still at the top of the table with an astounding 25,000 mugs delivered. The approaches are moderately busy this week, with pad availability for small ships showing us, "Come on in, there's loads of room," and medium pads showing us, "I'll let you land this time, but make it quick." There have been 7 Hutton runs so far, including a new record from Stargoid at 29 minutes and 32 seconds. I mean, their ship's burnt to a crisp and the wings have melted off, but still. There are even a couple more from Hutton regulars in there. Deadmeat GF makes an appearance, and so does Commander Palantir, who likely did the Hutton run while he had a frozen Findus ready meal in the oven. Stargoid, 2 runs, 29 minutes, 32 seconds. Oceloran, 29 minutes, 35 seconds. Cor Badger, 1 hour, 3 minutes, 12 seconds. Deadmeat GF, 1 hour, 26 minutes, 33 seconds. And Palantir, 1 hour, 27 minutes, 39 seconds. And that's it for this week. Happy trucking!
In a galaxy where even the bravest pilots occasionally require the comfort of a faithful companion, Hutton Orbital has announced the launch of its new Hutton Veterinarian Service. Not to be confused with the Hutton Octogenarian Service, which caters to our more venerable human resident. This innovative service ensures that our furry friends can receive urgent medical attention at warp speed, thanks to state-of-the-art Hutton Pet Ambulance. The Hutton Pet Ambulance, powered by the legendary pilot Stargoid, is a marvel of modern engineering. Stargoid, known across the galaxy as the fastest Hutton runner, okay, second fastest now, has loaned his name and his considerable piloting skills to this life-saving venture. Capable of performing both the Kessel Run and the infamous Hutton Run in record time, this vessel ensures that no poorly pooch is left waiting. Wilma Fingerdoo, Hutton's chief correspondent, had the chance to tour the new facility.
The Hutton Veterinarian Service is a testament to the care and dedication we have for our companions,
she remarked.
With a full suite of medical equipment, including zero-gravity grooming stations and anti-grav kennels, this is a haven for any pet in need.
The service was inaugurated with a demonstration of the pet ambulance's capabilities. Witnesses reported seeing the sleek, Stargoid-piloted craft leaving Cotton Orbital in a blur, only to return mere moments later with a bewildered but relieved kitten in tow.
I barely had time to down my gin,
commented one observer.
That ambulance is faster than a greased Thargoid in a Teflon hot plate.
Gusto, Hutton's resident pet commentator, couldn't help but chuckle at the spectacle. We've all seen Stargoid break records before, but this time he's really outdone himself. Not only is he the fastest, but now he's the fluffiest hero in the galaxy. The pet ambulance's design includes various compartments tailored to different species, from the tiniest rodents to the largest canine. Equipped with cutting-edge stasis pods and emergency medical holograms, it ensures that every pet receives top-notch care during their rapid journey.
We've seen lots of amazing technology here at Hutton,
says Normus Knockers.
But this takes the biscuit, or should I say, the dog biscuit. Whether it's an evil biomorphic hamster with a hiccup or a dog with a dodgy leg, the Hutton Veterinarian Service is ready to respond.
As the galaxy continues to expand and the dangers of space persist, Hutton Orbital remains committed to the well-being of its inhabitants, both human and otherwise. The new veterinarian service and its Stargoid-powered pet ambulance symbolise that commitment, proving once again that Hutton Orbital is the heart, and now the caring paws, of the galaxy.
Welcome back to this week's Pop Pick of the Systems, the movers and the shakers, the winners and losers of the Hutton System BGS chart. Well, it happened. The expansion is over and we now have a presence in 47 systems. Who is the new addition to the Hutton family? It's Gnui, home of Gnus, gnarly gnomes and possibly even the Gnosis. Anyway, that's the good news. The rest is a bit, well, rubbish really. There's a K-type star and four gas giants with a selection of icy moons and a couple of rundown outposts. It also belongs to the CIA, so not a system we would pursue anyway. Plus, it's a bit of a tip. The next one will be ours. Speaking of systems which are ours, let's get started with the high rollers. At the top of the table, with warning lights blinking all over the place, is LHS 340 on 69%. Although that's always a very funny number, we really need it settled down so we could whoever picked up a meal deal in the spaceport there, please put those items back on the shelf. There are a couple of others which are over the 60% influence limit we're happy with, so if you could leave those alone to settle then, we would be very grateful. Apart from that, it's mainly a lot of non-states. George Panzatis, Wolf 359, Ross 671, Epsilon Eridani, Cockery, 36 Opiuchi and Narensis are all in boom, which is nice. Wolf 629 and LHS 3531 are having elections. Barnard Star are having investment, civil liberty and a public holiday. There are a couple of little wars and things going on in systems controlled by other player factions, so we really don't want to get involved in those. But what does it all mean? Well, if you want to chuck it when you're in, well, you're on your... That again. Well, if you want to chuck it, then you're in luck. Run missions for Hutton in Wharf 629 and LHS 3531 for that big election win. We don't have Hutton owned facilities in either system at the moment, so this is a chance for you to make a name for yourselves. You can also chuck in commodities and run non-combat missions in any of those boom systems. If you're going to Barnard Star, home of the Barnard Star Dockers, then take condoms. Things can get pretty racy in the bars during public holidays and civil liberty states. Really though, you want to be shipping commodities in and running missions. Investment is like a supercharged boom state, so take advantage while you can, which is also what happens in the bars during public holidays. If you want to shoot stuff, then there's not much doing. As always, when this happens, we would suggest helping Vulcarius and company to wipe out Thargoid Titans for fun, profit, and maybe even infamy. Right, my brain hurts. I'm off for a lie down.
Well, I don't think we could have done any better, to be honest.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
If it's any consolation, I think most people came in after, you know, most of the news.
Yeah, if it's any consolation, so did the record button.
Oh, no, we need to go back and do it again?
We have to do it again.
I'll pull it down off Twitch, don't worry.
It was. Oh, thank God for that.
About 10 seconds into the first actual news article, I suddenly realised it wasn't recording and then
that's not
the button.
Too bad.
Nah, it could have been worse.
Yeah, something like Amelia that has to repeat her stuff then.
Yeah.
Come on, Amelia, one more time from the top.
I'll get it right this time.
Okay, yeah, I get it right this time.
I just need to check what this button does, though. Oh, that's better.
Oh,
I've been looking for that knob for weeks.
Oh, I tell you what, the ear feels better already.
Yeah, that was the one I was looking for all the time.
Yeah.
Do we have a Frontier live stream this week?
Yeah,
no.
Next week.
Next week. Ooh, next week's the last Wednesday of the month.
Are we sure it's next week?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, last Wednesday of the month, next week.
Oh, we're sure that next week's the last Wednesday of the month. We're definitely sure of that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not sure there's definitely a live stream. No.
Well, they've been pretty consistent. I think we're about three in. This will be the fourth one. And they've been fairly consistent. So, you know, yes. I say fairly consistent. They've been completely consistent with this kind of thing.
Since they announced the new scheme of last Wednesday of the month, they have hit it every time.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
next time.
Yeah. Well, there's only been three times, so yeah, but they've made the three times in a row without any issues. So yeah, it seems to be. I think it's just that thing of kind of concentrating their resources to talk about all their games at once. It's you know, it's easier to get everybody together for an overall thing like that once a month rather than have people doing the Elite one happens then and then the Planet Zoo one happens then. And you know, it's just getting together. Everybody gets together once a month and does the overall thing. So yeah, it seems to be working.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Elite always seems to get quite a good bit. Sometimes we're not on until last, but they let it overrun a wee bit when we're on last.
We're always last, but that's
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
They save the best for last.
They do save the best for last. And I think that's why. I think because Arthur likes to talk Elite and sometimes it runs over the. It's supposed to be on for an hour, but when it's Elite he's talking about, it kind of runs over a bit. You know? Mm. So yeah.
Especially when he says type 8 as he walks off stage.
Yeah.
Not that he'd ever do anything like that.
No. I mean, I keep hearing people talking about the type 8, but is it really a thing? Or is it just somebody winding us up?
Yep, he definitely said
yes.
Next ship, type 8.
It's definitely one or the other. And to be fair,
yes, well, definitely one of those things.
Oh, if dropped some dodgy comments at times, but he's never lied about anything, so
yeah,
no.
If a type 8 is on its way, I for one am looking forward to seeing it.
Yes,
you know, because I like
how ugly will it be?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be a nice brick,
yeah,
you know, a good, you know, a nice one that you can paint orange, you know, all those, you know, maintenance colors, yellows, oranges, you know,
yeah, something
fill
nice.
It with mining,
something
fill it with
nice
mining gear,
industrial with a big crane on the back,
yes.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
No wings.
We want a brick.
You want a box with a crane on the back and a big window at the front.
We don't want spoilers on our spoilers. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Don't be so hasty.
And no attitude thrusters at all.
No attitude thrusters.
Attitude thrusters, what are those?
The attitude comes from the ship itself. It doesn't need attitude thrusters.
Exactly.
Or attitude boosters. Yeah.
It can turn on a pinhead, it just takes 45 minutes to do so.
I want a ship
as that, it should be.
I want a ship that I can draw accurately.
Hey, I don't care what anyone says, you know, type 9s I mean, my favorite, as you know, is the Type 9.
Yes.
And everyone says it's like the sluggiest, unmaneuverable. But I can make a Type 9 move if I want it to.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. I've got grade 5 ducky drives on mine. I can fly mine with one hand now. That's how good mine is.
It's easy to make it move. You request docking permission, you line up with the slot, and then you hit boost by mistake.
Yeah. I mean, even
doesn't matter so much in a Type 9.
Yeah. You still get plenty of time to adjust.
Yep.
Go make a cup of tea, come back, tweak the settings.
When mine boosts to 326 metres a second.
Yeah, I get about that.
Which is terrifying on a Type 9. Absolutely.
Yes, so you've mastered making it move. How do you make it not move?
Give it a minute. It's a big, heavy old bus, but yeah. Oh, no, I love my Type 9.
It's my favourite ship. I've got two of them. I don't even know why I've got two of them. They're kitted out the same, and they've just got different names.
Yeah. I think I've got two. I mean, I've got the Frisky Hippo, obviously, but I'm sure I've got another one there. I think it's the Trade Winds or something kicking about somewhere. And I had I bought it for something and then didn't bother to sell it or whatever after I'd done it. I just put it away.
Yeah, you bought it for a very reasonable price.
Yes.
I've got a bright pink one, called the Ermintrude.
Yes.
Okay.
I remember Ermintrude when you first bought her.
Yeah. She's the one I do all the Hutton events in. If we have a Hutton event, you know, I get an Ermintrude because I like showing off my Type 9. You know, it's bright pink. But then I've got a more serious one called the Barbossa, and that's like all the maintenance colors. It's like oranges and yellows.
Yes.
And that's the one I use if I'm like, I got my mining cap on, I want to go out and I don't want to be disturbed. I want to be in my zen. Yeah. You know,
tartan amongst... shot, and I'm going mining.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't bother me. I'm mining.
Yes.
You know. So yeah, two Type 9s, they're kitted out more or less the same way.
Yeah, I mean, with a Frisky Hippo, it's kitted out for cargo now, but I've done all sorts with it. I took it to Beagle, that's the one I took to Beagle Point. But it's had gold paint jobs. It was solid gold, well, it wasn't solid gold, it was painted gold at one point. And like you see, I like the, it looks really good with the kind of maintenance colours on it and things like that, and the, you know, bits of scaffolding on it and things. So yeah, they're great. Because you can't make them any uglier.
No, you can't. I mean, did they bring out a ship kit for the Type 9?
I'm sure there's something.
I know they made like a Raiders pack.
Yeah, it might be the Raiders pack I'm thinking of.
But I'm not into the Raiders pack very much. You know.
Oh no, I like anything rusty.
Oh no, I like the rust colours. I just don't like all the
spikes. You know, I prefer.
Yeah, spikes with skulls on.
I prefer
the normal ship kits with the ship body parts.
Yeah. I like bits of scaffolding and boxes with wires that you just don't know what they're doing, things like that. I'm not that keen on the spiky ones.
No. You
know, I'll go for the
rust colours on the spiky ones are really nice.
Yeah, the messy, gritty, gnarly ones, yeah, but no, the spikes. I just don't see the point of the spikes.
No, I don't either. Yeah. Not on a Type 9 anyway. I could see it on like a combat-oriented vessel.
I do like a Raider paint job. I don't know if they did. I think it might have been one of the... I think it was one of the ones that came with the industrial paint packs. There was like some sticky-on bits for your ship as well. You know, like some winglets and things. Yeah, it's been a while. I can tell you that much. It's been a while. I logged in last night for the first time in about 6 months. I'm heading back for Bormodine Rift. So I had that experience of trying to work out where all my buttons were. I'll need to get home and have a proper look and see what I've got there. But yeah, I seem to think there's some kind of kit. I might be getting confused with the Type 10. We should offer spoilers for your spoilers.
Yes, yeah, like I said, spoilers on your spoilers.
Yes.
that's one of the funniest things about the Type 10 is the ship kit. The thing is, I mean, I don't often look in the shop for Type 9 stuff because there isn't much stuff for Type 9. There never has been.
Yeah.
Not that you need anything to improve it. It's perfect just the way it is.
I think what happened was, for a long time, what they were doing was we're looking at what ships were the most used, and they would get the updates week to week. So there was always a lot of kind of Cobra, Python, Anaconda stuff coming out, and the Type 9 was a wee bit neglected because of that, you know, because it wasn't a ship that everybody used, you know, where the Anaconda was a ship everybody aspired to, like fools.
Idiots.
Yeah, idiots. It's one of those.
What's your favourite ship, Luther?
That depends on what for. I mean, most of the time I fly about in the DBX because I'm just trying to get from A to B somewhere in the bubble to join in some hunting event or other. So I've got
DBXs are nice.
I've got a relatively stripped down DBX. It can hold its own long enough to run away from a fight.
Nice.
Yeah. It's handy for minor mission running and bits and pieces, but mostly it's got a fairly good jump range because it's stripped down. So it's great for getting from place to place.
Well, that's good.
I like most of them.
Yeah. The DBX has got a nice look about it, though.
Yeah. Cobra Mark III is fun to fly.
Yeah. I like the cockpit of the DBX. It feels very Firefly. You know, like wires and... Mm-hmm.
It's been hand-assembled, shall we say.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I always kind of think of attack helicopters when I see that as well, just because of the long, narrow kind of body of it. You know?
Yeah. But I've got a Type 9. It's rigged for trading, obviously enough. I've got a never remember which one's the cutter, which one's the clipper. The smaller of the two, the one that's easier to get. One. Yeah, they've got set up for mining. I've got the bigger of the two as well. That's set up for trading.
Yeah,
that one I only do when
you say trading. You mean trucking?
Yeah, trucking.
Yeah,
just shipping large bulk quantities of crap from one place to another and trying to work out which direction it's pointing and which direction it's going. That ship trick.
I like trucking in a Type 7. Because it looks like a truck.
Yeah, it does look very trucky. I had my Type 7 made up as... I've got a couple of Type 7s made up as tankers.
And tankers?
Like, tanker, yeah. Just a big fuel tank in it and some fuel limpets.
For fuel ratting?
Yeah, well, I haven't actually done it much in the way of fuel ratting, but that kind of thing, you know, when you take it like a fuel tanker and you just get this big... Because it's got that big, massive forehead and the big hunchback at the back of you. And the cockpit on the front, and it just looks to me like a tanker, you know?
It's got a really nice cockpit.
Yeah. Yeah, I always thought you
see everything.
Put people in those two bridge stations at the back. I would love to be in one of them, just having a look at what's going on.
Yeah, they didn't know how to build a glass cabin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flossie, what's your favourite ship?
Flossie!
All right, I'm on the right one this time.
Yay! What's your favourite ship?
I got my Mac on as well. I spend a lot of time recently in the T9 to do the missions to get money for my carriers.
Oh, yeah.
What other favourite? I don't know, really. I like the DBX.
Mm-hmm. You were saying that last week.
A long way in one of them.
Which your best one do you think for doing planetary missions? Because you've done a few of them recently, haven't you?
DBX is good for that as well because it's easy to land. I like the Phantom. The Phantom's a good one for exploring.
Mm-hmm.
I like most ships, really.
I think that's the thing.
I've got a favourite.
I think that's the thing. There's a lot of good ships out there for whatever you want to do. There's always something that will do it really nice.
And then there's the Mamba.
I'm not sort of waiting for new ones, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's the Mamba.
Funny you said that, Jim, because I like a Mamba as well.
It's absolutely beautiful and it's completely useless.
Yeah.
Have you ever flown a Mamba in VR?
Not in VR, no.
There's a whopping great big gap that you could easily fall down right behind the cockpit seat.
You're not meant to get out of your seat while you're flying.
Yeah. Yes. what I wanted to do was do VR, but sit in the second seat, because I think you've got a big glass dome in the roof.
Well, if you do VR, you can just stand up and walk over to where the second seat is and have a look.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can. I mean, that's why
you get this weird decapitated corpse in the pilot seat, though. It's strange.
That is true. It's one of the reasons why I like the Type 9, Type 7, Type 6, Keelback, and Asp is because of the cockpit.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, look into a nice cockpit.
You can see everything in those cockpits. Mm-hmm. And in VR, that's really important, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in a DBX, not so much. It's lots of wires terrible. In the way.
Better than the Conda.
You can see out there, like at the top of it.
Don't fly in VR. So.
The Anaconda and the Corvette are terrible for visibility. You can see your ship.
Oh, yeah, the Corvette.
Stretching off to infinity.
Yeah.
You see your own ship right in front of you.
Yeah, it's all you can see. Do you know what? I had to go in the, what's it called? The Imperial Courier once on VR. It was at, I think it was at LaveCon. And he was sitting in the cockpit and flying through an asteroid field. And that was an experience because that, again, has got a big. It's like a jet fighter cockpit it's got.
Mm.
But it's a massive glass cockpit. And you can just, I was looking up and you were looking into craters on these asteroids. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and really manoeuvrable.
You know what the most annoying cockpit to sit in VR is?
You're going to say the Ferdinands, aren't you?
It is, yeah. Because you're off centre.
It's just the most annoying cockpit in anything. Yeah.
You're off centre in lots of them, but it just doesn't seem to work in the Ferdinands.
I don't think it's the seat so much as
it's that bloody great diagonal lump of metal on the canopy.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Don't get me wrong. The cockpit itself is amazing.
Yeah.
If you look behind you, you've got this whole, it's like an observation deck behind you. Well, and you can see.
You have to look behind you because you can't see anything in front of you.
It's beautiful. The back of a Ferdinand, you know. Wow, you know, it's by far the most stunning back end I've graced my eyes. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, where you're sitting, not fun.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that's fairly common. I mean, the Python's a bit like that, but at least you understand the Python's a side-by-side seating arrangement.
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of get it. What's the other one? Oh, it's the Adder. The Adder's a wee bit like that as well. It's the side-by-side ones.
I love the Adder. Adders are brilliant. So manoeuvrable. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think, aside from the Dolphin, they're probably my ship of choice just to bum around in.
Oh, no, there's a ship.
Oh, the Dolphin.
Yeah, I love a Dolphin. Yeah. Dolphins are really good. If you're doing too hot, too messy, a Dolphin's really good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've ever flown one.
Oh, they're nice.
Really? They're really good. Wow.
Yeah. I've flown a beluga for about 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Dolphin's far better. Cause
when you hit the boost button, it makes a dolphin noise.
And it's super really maneuverable.
Yeah.
But I mean, I kitted my Dolphin out for Guardian, going to Guardian sites.
Yeah.
Because it's perfect. You know, it's not like a super jumper like an Asp or a
DBX, but it's not bad.
But it's not bad. Yeah. It's pretty good. And it's comfortable. You know? Yeah. Okay. So it might not be quite as far jumping, but it is a far more comfortable trip.
Mm hmm. I know some people, including myself, were using it for too hot, too messy runs because it fits in a small pad.
Yeah.
But it's got the size 5 slot for when you'd normally put a luxury cabin because it's a passenger ship. It's like a luxury yacht. So it's got a size 5 slot. You can put a cargo rack in that and you get a good amount of cargo on it. You know?
Yeah, it's good for that.
Yeah.
Mm. Right, that's it. I'll have to buy a dolphin just so I can have a play with it.
Yeah, you do. You need to have a go on a dolphin.
Everyone should have a dolphin.
Yeah.
Dolphins are awesome.
And the Asp Scout.
I've never replenished the paint job on my dolphin, and it's done many hut and runs.
Are we not going to talk about the Asp Scout then?
Right, sorry, yeah. The Asp Scout is terrible.
It's not terrible.
It's a horrible ship.
It's terrible.
It's not.
Get yourself an Asp Explorer. They're quite nice.
I've got one of them. I've got several of them.
Fly around is something that looks like a frisbee that's being chucked for Elvis.
I mean,
it needs
a bit of engineering. I'll give it that. But see, once you put a wee bit of engineering on it, it's really nice.
I did my first trip to the core in an Asp Explorer. That was before engineers, you know.
Yeah.
Back when the maximum you could that's jump was about 35 light years.
Yeah, that's when I did it as well. I had 34 light year jump range.
And it took me 6 months to get there and back because I kept getting distracted by sparkly things.
Yes.
Nebulas and, oh, what's that? Let's go have a look over there. And then...
Since you keep changing the subject, I'm going to jump in one last time and say the Asp Scout is the Robin Reliant of the ship world.
No, that's the Cobra Mark IV.
Somebody's got
to... Cobra Mark IV is also...
Come on.
That is one of my favourite ships, the Cobra
Mark. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, look what you've done.
I love a Mark IV.
I knew I'd stare it up with that comment. I actually really like the Cobra Mark IV. It's a really, really nice-looking ship.
Not everyone has one, which makes it
that's also good for too hot to admit.
Yeah, there's ships that are better at it at everything, better than it at everything, but it's quite good at most things. You don't need to be in the best all the time, otherwise flying around in exactly three different ship options total.
Oh, I've just remembered what my other Type 9 set up for. It's for station evacuations.
Of course.
You got loads of people on a Type 9.
Yep, more than anything else.
You know what the best thing about driving a Mark IV is?
Being the only person who's got one.
Exactly.
Being the only person who's prepared to be seen in public in one.
Cruising by with your arm on the window going, I've got one of these.
Me in public in one.
Mm-hmm.
Fly it, launch it.
Although, I have to say, I do like the... Cobra Mark III because, I mean, it's a great ship anyway, but I specifically managed to get hold of a paint job for somebody who, they know who they are and they'll say thank you very much, but it looks like the Scottish Saltire. So it's a blue background with a big white X on it and it sits right across it and it just looks like the Scottish flag. And I thought, that's nice. Because you can't get it on the other ships. You can get the Union Jack and things, but you can't get... just the Scottish flag.
That's what's really special about the Cobra Mark III. It's got a different paint job for every day of the year. And then a few spares for the next 5 years as well.
Do you know, the Python's like that as well.
You know, the Mark III ship kit isn't bad either. It kind of gives your ship a kind of steampunky look in with certain options.
Yeah.
Never get ship kits.
No, I like a wee ship kit. It looks good with radar stuff on it as well. It does look like, oh my God, where did they find this thing? And one of the ones I liked was on the Sidewinder. You can get part of the ship kit there. You can get two jet engine intakes that sit on the front. They don't do anything. God, they look good on the front of that ship.
Mm. That's what the steampunkiness looks like.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, shall we move on to space news?
Before we do, we've got a correction and a heckle from the chat. Van Vulkeris points out, I was wrong about the Type 9. You can't get the most people on it. It's the Corvette, then narrowly the Anaconda. And I think he's right about that. But the Type 9 still lots. And you'd expect it to be the Beluga, and it totally isn't.
Yeah, it's not the Beluga.
And also, Flossie, Dead Meat is looking for a date with you.
Why?
He wants to wing up and go on a tour in the Cobra Mark IV.
I've just noticed that. I wasn't looking at me. Oh, I've got the Twitch on the Mac, you see.
We should do something for the Cobra Mark IV Owners Club.
Get all six people together.
The Cobra Mark IV Owners Club.
Yeah. kind of matching blazers or something.
Yes. That'll sort out the adult persons from the younger persons.
Yeah. Oh, matching driving gloves. Oh dear! Right, shall we move on?
No, that would be a great hollow accessory, wouldn't it? Driving gloves.
Driving gloves, and a cravat.
Let's move on. Let's definitely move on.
Yes.
So, do we have any space news today?
Oh, do we? Yes, we do.
Do you have the button for space news? Is more important, I guess.
I have a button. It says space news on it. And now it says more Northern Lights. Yes, I do.
But do you have the music?
Got music.
There we go.
Space news.
goes on a bit, doesn't it?
It's a bit of a long one, but I like it.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. Yeah. So here we are. More northern lights as the sun, or soon as the sun storms strength. Oh, these are worse than David's headlines.
That's cool. You know why they're worse than David's headlines? Because I wrote them.
More northern lights soon as sun storms strengthen.
Oh, I never wrote that one. Yes.
So who put this one storms. In?
Maybe we'll have a little bit more notice next time.
Yeah.
Can someone like message me on Facebook saying, hey, you know, northern lights tonight?
yeah, me too.
I will miss them otherwise.
Yeah, so it looks like we're going to get another chance to see them, which is fantastic. But I'm looking outside at the sky just now, and
it
wouldn't matter if they were on tonight. It wouldn't matter.
No, it'll be a couple of days' time. Well, in that case, Flossie is the official letter. You need
a
you need a coronal mass ejection off the sun. So yeah, basically a solar flare that is pretty much pointed straight at Earth, and it needs to be a fairly big one. And then if it's a clear night, you'll get to see the northern lights further south than usual.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
The sun spins every, I want to say, about 11 or 12 days. So roughly every couple of weeks, the big batch of sunspots will be coming around again. But obviously they change and evolve over time.
Yeah. So, I think that's the thing, though, is what they're saying is it is now approaching its solar maximum. So it's getting to the stage where it's at its stormiest.
Yeah, sometime in the next 18 months, roughly, it's going to hit maximum. Mm. It's an approximately 11-year cycle.
Oh, yeah. I picked up that bit when I was looking at it earlier. It's like an 11-year cycle, which...
11.
I'm just 11.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised at how fast the sun spins. How long did you say it takes to spin?
I want to say 11 days, but I've got a nagging feeling I've got the 11th and the 11-year cycle, so I could be wrong on that one.
You mentioned it just before then. Actually, you said it was something like 7 or 8 days.
I think it's about 11, but like I say, I've got a feeling that might be the years. Well, Vulcarius must know. He's an expert on all things sciencey. Now we wait for chat to catch up with the delay.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Dead meat answered. 27 days.
27 days. For something
just
that size.
Just shy of 4 weeks.
Yeah, for something that size, that's about the same. You know, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's about a lunar month.
Yeah, give or take 2 days.
Yeah.
That's the goal, please.
Dead meat, you can get treatment for that these days. There's some cream that you rub into them.
Just everybody be aware, you're still getting Twitch drops as well.
You can get some cream for that as well, I think.
I've just picked up the... it just told me the Mamba Meadow Shoreline.
Mambo Meadow.
I think you should have got that last week, mate.
Yeah, I think I did get most of it last week, but it's only actually came up. It's only showed me this week. So I maybe had a wee bit outstanding. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I got that last week.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, Premier Lights mistaken for Northern Lights. This was a couple of people coming home from a night out. And they've done a TikTok video and everything of them walking down the street going, oh my God, look at the purple lights and the thing. And oh, that's the aurora, it's this and that. And then they kind of went round a corner and found that it was the lights.
Oh my God, Tom, we've been catfished. Have we been catfished? What was the Northern Lights here?
It wasn't the Northern Lights. It was the lights from the Premier Inn.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure that counts as space news, Mia.
Although... I just thought it counts as I'm amusing myself for this news.
Definitely counts as worth sharing, though.
Yes. It was highly amusing. I thought, yeah, that's kind of hunting trucker stuff, really, you know. But yeah, I was quite pleased about it. I was quite pleased to see that one pop up.
Curious.
Be online,
yeah, drag him kicking and screaming.
I didn't even know he was on this on logged in.
I'm just trying to get the thing, the window there, so I can get him down without dropping him elsewhere.
I've got him.
Oh, you're going.
always think of that as being like the wee Google Maps thing where you grab the wee orange man and dangle him over the place where you want to build.
Yeah. Should have knocked on the window.
Down, I was getting every room but this one.
you should have knocked on the window, Vilcarius. We would have let you in sooner. We know how bad the smell is out there.
Yeah.
Knocked on the window?
Yes. How? Is that what that noise was earlier? Yeah, we meant the window from the corridor, not the window from outside. You were knocking on the wrong window, you big blatteroon.
So.
Oh, right. Send a poke. Oh, I had no idea it had a poke system.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a bit rude, but you know.
I knew it. Whoever you poked gets a little vibrate at their end and a buzz, so it's harder to miss.
Yes.
Stop queuing up, he can do us all.
Yes. Can he now? He's got stamina.
does it have three speeds or is it not that kind?
It's not that kind, unfortunately.
It is. It's got a mains adapter and a gum shield. Right. So 27 days for the solar turnaround, or a solar day, I suppose it is.
Yep. But the sunspot cluster that caused the one a couple of weeks back is absolutely freaking huge.
Yes.
It's nearly as big as the one that was associated with the Carrington event back in 1860, whatever it was. The one
what
that
was
made. It was a solar storm that made telegraph poles catch on fire.
Wow!
Wow!
Yeah. The magnetic interference was so serious that it was inducing currents in any long cables. So
they definitely knew how to do it better back then.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
No. If one like that hit us now, it would be a disaster. Remember 15, 20 years ago when the entire eastern seaboard of America was shut down for a week or two?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was caused by one of a fraction of that strength. That blew all the breakers and all of the power distribution stuff. The world's power network is now very, very decentralized and very, very, very big, long, cable-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that post-apocalypse people could refer to as the event.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Brown Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
When people say, not since the accident.
Yes. We are 0 days free of solar flares.
Yeah, it is actually quite a scary one that a serious solar flare could really mess with civilization.
Yeah. On the upside, though, once the power was cut, you'd be able to see all the Northern Lights.
Oh,
really
yeah,
well.
On the upside, yeah, it would look glorious. Lovely.
Yeah, they'd be beautiful. Mm. I mean, you'd have to go home and live like a medieval peasant, but, you know.
Only for a few weeks while they brought everything back online.
I'd be willing to pay that price.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you just like the dinners.
We wouldn't have metal music anymore, but that's okay. Metal without electricity is just blues.
Yes.
You have a point. Yes. We'd all be singing the blues. So, story number three. This one.
Story number three. Who put that one in?
That one was me while I was programming the buttons for your turn. Breaking news earlier today. There's been an announcement of Gliese 12b. Which is about 40-ish light years, 41 light years from Earth. It's
everybody's going to be rushing to get a first scan by.
It's a rocky planet, so kind of Earth-like, roughly Earth-sized, so one of the smallest ones we found.
Oh.
And it's in the Goldilocks zone.
Ah, excellent.
That's where the good news ends. In the Goldilocks zone of a red dwarf. So
The Goldilocks zone is a Goldilocks zone, isn't it? It varies from start to start.
That's absolutely true. So liquid water could exist on the UV-ravaged, flare-destroyed planet's surface.
Yeah, but, you know.
Well, yeah, it's
life finds a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Not when the flares tear the atmosphere off, it doesn't. So, they know nothing more about it than theoretically it's in the right place in a star that's not a great place to look for life. But you never know.
But that does add credence to the whole thing of other Earth-likes out there. You get one the right size, the right sort of composition, and in the right place. It's just a shame that the star's a bit rubbish for it. But, you know, it's like, they do form like that in that area.
Yeah, but there is kind of an observational bias that we can only find Earth-like worlds in Goldilocks zones of red dwarfs at the moment. We can't see them if they're in the right place on a sun-like star.
Yeah,
because the sun-like star is weirdly too bright.
Yes.
It orbits its sun every 12.8 days.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yep.
To be fair, that sun's a lot smaller than us, but yeah, that's pretty rapid.
Yeah, that's rocketing
really
around.
Fast.
Yeah, I think Mercury's something like 87 days.
Yep, but this one is probably tidally locked, so it's got a 12.8 day day, as well as a 12.8 day year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like 42 degrees Celsius temperature estimated. Yeah.
I mean, that's toasty, kind of, it's
Mediterranean then.
It's not unlivable.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds a bit like Eden.
I mean, that is warm. Mm. Like, super warm.
Oh, yeah, it's hot.
but it wouldn't kill you.
Holiday in Turkey hot. I was in Turkey and it was 42 degrees. It was burny, but you stayed in the shade.
Yeah, there's inhabited parts of Earth that are that hot and hotter.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm excited for that, then.
So, yeah, it's the most likely planet discovered that's got the best chance of technically being habitable to humans, and it's only 40 light years away. So we could theoretically get there in a 1,000 years or two.
Because there was a probe they were talking about sending to Proxima, wouldn't it? It could make something like, what was it?
Yeah.
0.2 of light years, 0.2 of light speed or something.
Mm-hmm. Starshot, breakaway Starshot.
Yeah,
I think it was YouTube the other day, that they figured out how to get warp drive to work. They just don't have the technology to be able, or power to be able to build it.
Yeah.
But they reckon they figured out how they could get it to work.
Well, maybe. It's the Alcubierre drive. And theoretically, with one key proviso, theoretically, it is genuine proper warp drive. You build a bubble of warped space and you move within that bubble, and that bubble moves through the rest of space at faster than light speeds, just like they do on Star Trek.
You can't call it that. You have to call it warp drive.
Yeah, unfortunately, it requires the existence of exotic matter, which may or may not exist in the universe.
It may actually exist, but it may not exist.
It can be created, but only if it already exists.
Right.
Current models of particle physics allow for the possibility it might be a thing, but also that it might not be a thing.
Yeah. So if you can work on the kind of assumption that that thing is real, or the conceit or whatever, and you go, well, right, we're saying that's real. So if that's real, here's how you make a warp drive.
I mean, the great thing about exotic matter, if they ever do discover it, it'll be really, really good for people on diets because it has negative mass.
Oh, yes.
So the more of it you eat, the lighter you get. So imagine exotic chocolate.
Oh, yes, I like that. Oh,
yes. Yeah, exotic matter, dark chocolate.
Yeah, exotic Mars bars.
Yeah, I still think I like dark chocolate and orange, or those enrobed cherries. But enrobed exotic matter. We just got a bit of chocolate on the outside. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, we can't have a warp drive. We did discover some exotic matter, but somebody ate it. But,
yeah, we ate it. That was the same. That was the same as the turtles when they were bringing them back. They were just too delicious. They took several attempts to get them back for the zoo. You're like, we did have some, but we ate them because they were delicious.
Yeah.
Well, while you were saying that, Litho, I just imagined finger licking sounds. Nom, nom.
I mean, if it's going to be a bit like, I don't know, it's not going to taste nice, really, is it? It's going to, things that are good for you really taste nice.
Mm. I don't think it would actually be good for you. It's likely to do very strange things when mixed with normal matter.
Yeah, take my chances. I'm in my 50s and I live in Glasgow. I've not got long anyway. I'll have a go.
That's true.
I'll have first go on it. Yeah. Oh, dear. Is that us done for space news then?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Which means that next up we have...
You need to press the button.
You need to finish the space news.
No, I don't. I haven't got the same buttons as David. I can just move
on to the next one. Oh, the same one as the start
one. Oh, go on.
We really need to start putting Volcaris's bit in the script before Volcaris's bit starts.
Yeah, that needs to be in the script on a permanent basis.
Yes.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes, I'll get it in the template for next week.
We also need a theme tune.
Yes.
Yeah. Volcaris needs a theme tune.
A theme tune. You can write the theme tune, sing the theme tune, and be in Volcaris's bit.
Right. So it's time for Volcaris's bit. Volcaris's bit.
Oh dear. I don't think we should call it that.
what, you don't
come on, it'd be perfect. You know it would.
You don't want to have your bits exposed live on stream.
So, where are we? Right. Titan Haddad is getting headbutted, rifle butted, and water butted. It's getting unfriended, unfollowed, and unsubscribed. It's getting missiled, multi-cannoned, and lasered in the face. And it's getting disallowed even after consulting VAR. So
is it being manhandled and womanhandled?
Yes, it's being it's being manhandled and womanhandled. It's being mistranslated to and from Spanish and Welsh and occasionally French.
Yes.
Yeah, it's being it's being violently up, down, left and right cycled. So if you want your Jesus Christ,
hey, you volunteered to join this bunch of idiots.
Pick more ones off the list. More ones off the list.
Do you want me? Should I start with the whole galaxy out of stuff out there?
I mean because I missed the list, and I think you need to pick up the list now in Volcaris's bit.
I missed the list too.
It's the list.
Do you actually want the briefing or do you want the list?
I was going to go list, please.
Briefing first, or do you want the list first?
Do the briefing both. First, and we'll keep the list to the end because you'll need to build up to that.
Right, there we go.
At the same time.
Yeah, concurrently.
Yeah. I'll have to take your first answer there. So, if you want your rewards, like your Haddad rewards, you'll need to cease any slumberdegullion log gagging. Pack your Super Cruise Overcharge and your bumper chute and jump on over to HIP 30377 by Planet B8 if you can't be mugged to open the system map. Titan Haddad had already lost one onion ring this afternoon.
And, no.
Yep. And literally just as the show started, it lost the second as well.
Jeez.
In truth, the action probably will be... It'll probably slow down a bit once everyone's got the requisite 2 million for the decal and the ship kit. But take no chances, don't miss out, and just bring it down. Now, of course, just today, we also had some news about the Thargoid War overhaul. It was just posted on the forum. So it was update 1806, which should be next week. Actually, if you remember that slight hiccup the other week with the Thargoid War progress... Spire sites were doing a little bit more than they usually do. that was actually sort of a preview of some of the changes. At Imperial Navy Intervention and Rescue, we thought some of the new mechanics in that mistaken update were actually pretty good. Had some actually pretty good ideas. But it sounds like they've refined everything now and probably removed the 1,000 times multiplier that they were using to test it. System strengths are changing in... kind of in how they work fundamentally. Due to that, after that update, we won't really know how best to reach another Titan until we've had a few days, maybe a week, to figure it out. From the sounds of it, all the different actions you can do are getting rebalanced, so finally, thank Mug for this, combat should actually now work as well as Research Olympics. So we'll have to see it and talk about that more next week.
Yeah. But
for now, get to HIP 30377 with your Titan toys. Make it add crapulous after eating nanites to the vents. Give it the Wamble props with AX missiles to the core, sent their forces cattywampus and have squatched late after there after about 4 days.
Come on. You stay tuned, I've got another good one for you tonight.
Yeah, you're going to love this week's word of the week.
Yeah. Oh, and apparently, according to the apology officer, apparently there's a whole galaxy of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's out there.
Yes.
And it needs to be unfriended, ejected, pointed, manhandled or woman-handled, smeared, deflected, irrigated, emphasized, sniffed, snuffled, postponed, hidden from, flipped, mistranslated to and from Spanish, chilled, mugged, ginned, shot, shipped, rescued, tickled, looted, repaired, destroyed, bought, sold, squeezed, inflated, burnt, frozen, liquidated, evaporated, smelled, licked, discombobulated, recombobulated, polished, headbutted, rubbed, compressed, enveloped, strained, fermented, motorized with an S, interrobanged, upcycled, violently downcycled, disallowed, reallowed after consulting VAR, smelted, loved, adored, cherished, and probinated.
Yes.
Well
always,
done.
Always with probinated. And that's
seamless.
That's an excellent seamless reading of the list as well.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I was going to say, he does it almost better than you, Mew.
He does it actually better than me. I'll be honest, it's better than me.
It's not the same when you can't be adding extra words in while Mia's reading it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You can, nice to be my
if
favourite.
If you do
thing.
It right, you'll be able to do that to Volcarius.
I don't know if you noticed, Volcarius, but every time Mia said that, the words were slightly different every week.
Yeah,
because
yes.
We kept adding more.
We would say them in the chat, like we would say, and they would end up in the next week's script.
Yes. At one point, I was adding words, and then the list was getting too long, so I had to add a word and remove a word each week.
And we were just adding them for you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I Jim was adding them in as we were going. Right.
Yeah, I missed lasered in the... Did I say lasered in... No, I don't think... I said lasered in the face earlier.
Yeah,
I
said lasered in the face earlier, yeah.
But I missed one. Do you know...
What was lasered in the face again? Was that Flossie that had lasered somebody in the face?
No, she rocket launched him in the back of the head.
Oh, okay. Somebody got lasered in the face.
I don't know. I'm gonna take a guess that Amelia added it.
Which one?
Meowed at repeatedly.
No, that was.
No,
Dave.
That was. Yeah. Yeah, but I think it was about Mooncake.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It was definitely about Mooncake.
Yeah.
because she has been, well, even today before we went live, meowing at me repeatedly because she gets fed at about 9 o'clock, just before, you know, just after we start the show.
Well, obviously, and she once fed at half eight.
Yeah. So, no. Pretty much every week before the show starts, there is repeated mewing.
Yes.
Over the comms.
I think you'll find she once fed at 5 o'clock. She thinks she's in with a chance at half eight.
Oh, well, she gets fed at 5 o'clock. She once fed at about 4.
Yeah.
And 5, and 6, and 7. Cats and hobbits, there's no distinction.
She usually starts about an hour before she's meant to actually be fed.
Yeah, yeah. I got a pal whose cats do exactly the same thing. An hour before they're due to get fed, they start asking to be fed. Just in case you forget.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Because it's never going to happen with the cats sitting there. Oh dear. Right, shall we move on to the next bit?
Yes, we should.
Oh, do we have a word of the week?
We do have a word of the week this week. And word of the week this week is Eucalagon.
Oh, what does that mean?
It means a neighbour whose house is on fire.
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
You watch me go. Once the systems were cleared of Thargoids, the Hutton truckers turned their attention to their Eucalagons.
And for those who are interested, the spelling and the meaning is now coming across your screens in the form of a headline.
I'm just about to pop it into the chat as well. Here we go.
So, Volcarius, are you going to use that?
let me ingest the neighbor whose house is on fire.
Yes, I think it goes back to ancient Greece. I think Eucalagon was a person whose neighbours, you know, either his house was on fire and his neighbour went, oh, or something. But yeah, it seems to be.
A neighbour whose house is on fire.
Yes.
Well, yeah, no, I'll have to think about that one.
Okay. While you're thinking of that...
Challenge!
While you're thinking of that, you might want to think on this as well. What do Scottish anteaters sing?
Old Flower of Scotland.
No!
Don't be silly. Danny Boy.
That's Irish. That's
exactly.
Worse. That's just Irish. No, they sing... Aardvark 500 miles and aardvark 500 more. Aardvark!
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 Did that recently?
No! We've never done that. That took me ages.
That took him like at least 15 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes at the very least. No, I'll look back. It might have been used before at some point, but certainly not recently.
I don't remember hearing that one before.
Yeah. And you would remember.
Oh, that's seared into my memory. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we do not have a Galnet.
It's Flossie first.
Yeah, it's Flossie anyway.
It's
Flossie first. Then we don't have a Galnet news.
Yeah.
I'm first.
Yeah. And unlike Dave, though, I don't have a button that randomises the Flossie intro tunes. What I have instead is a button that I have no idea which one it's going to play or if it works at all. So let's find out together.
That's the same thing as David Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah. Approximately, yeah. But mine will do whatever it does consistently.
Nice.
So here we
go. He's got himself off.
Fabio, yeah, usual.
It's Flossie. It's Flossie. It's Flossie. It's Flossie. And the community goes.
Hello. It's Flossie here with this week's CG News. Guess what?
What?
Okay, you guessed it. No CGs again this week.
Oh, for goodness sake.
That's it for this week's CG News.
Flossie told you what to do.
I'm glad I was on mute, then I burst out laughing.
Right, is that it? Have we done?
Time for Amelia to apologise for the fact that we don't have any Galnet this week.
Well, I can't apologise. I'm not the apologist.
It's not her job.
Okay, she can tell us all.
And yeah, you tell can apologize them for us.
There is no Galnet this week.
We're very, very sorry. We won't let it happen again.
The news or food?
which means it's then my turn to point out the fact that we don't have a Galnet rare this week either. So, Mia, would you care to apologize for that as well?
Yeah, we're very, very sorry for that as well. Yeah. We don't know what you must think of us.
Oh, we've got a pretty good idea.
Yeah, probably the usual. Yeah, we've got a fairly good idea, to be fair.
Yeah.
But you know, we did get a lot of talk about ships in. Which I think makes up for it, you know?
Yeah. There was plenty of ship talk. Mm. Yeah.
No, that was ship. Ship.
Yeah, I did see ship. Yeah.
I'm just clarifying it for the listener.
Yes.
Yeah. It was.
No, I heard him yell. She wants her dinner.
She's had it.
She wants another one. She forgot. Oh, she had the first one so fast, she didn't get time to enjoy it. She wants the second one, she can eat slower.
Which means it's just time to point
out...
She's
staring me down.
Yes.
Next week is Green Room Week, so prepare your horror and fear and loathing for that. Get ready to...
DaveCon.
Yeah, and finally for a close, let's talk about DaveCon.
Yes, DaveCon.
Tickets are still on sale. Fewer and fewer of them every day.
I'm just about to pull up the website. Website is elitecommunitymeet.info.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
And you can go and you can see a big picture of all of our ugly mugs there from last year.
Yep.
And we're all there.
And if you turn up to the event, you'll see a live version of this show right in front of your very eyes.
Can we put a link in the chat?
Probably.
Well, I mean, I don't know because I don't have like... It's probably going to ban me or something if I do this. Hold on. Oh, it hasn't banned me.
That was first time chat from Tales for the Rift.
Oh yeah, I'm on my Tales. Okay, so let me tell you about Tales from the Rift.
shameless plug.
That link got blocked, by the way.
Yeah. Did it get blocked?
I'm just looking if I can release it, but it doesn't look like it can after the fact.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mooncake.
That's the address, anyway.
I'm going to click on that.
Yeah, I took it pretty much straight away. It's like on the Friday. It's the hotel. The last I heard, their booking was... We still broke it, like we UA bombed it, and I booked my hotel room by emailing them.
Yeah, it's currently in a fragile state, I believe, the booking system.
Apparently, people are pulling their hair out.
Yeah, so
whenever anyone puts a booking in.
Yeah, so book by Fermions or
I wish I'd known that.
Email, phone, yeah. Wig.
There was a thread on the forum where 21 posted the phone or the email address. I emailed them, and I think it must have sped it up a bit because they probably already had some details from last year, but I just got an email back to say I was booked in. So.
Mm. Yeah. I'm actually having a look at that picture, and there's myself and Beetlejuice and some other tiny people stood in front of Shouty. Just look like hobbits. Look like children. There's somebody else. That isn't you behind me, is it, Jim? It looks a bit beardy for you.
Let me go. I've got a beard.
You got a beard? That might be you then.
Oh, that hotel is awesome. I just want to mention, if anyone out there is getting a room at the hotel, they are pet friendly.
Mm.
We'll be bringing Mooncake. She's only... she did it last year. She's doing it again this year. But this time around, she hasn't had an operation right before the taking the trip. So...
Is she getting out on the lead?
Did she have to have the cone on her face? Or
she wouldn't keep it on. She ripped off the cone. We tried everything and to get t-shirt. That cone to stay.
And yep. The vet's face.
Yep. Yep. everything. We even ended up using rope to try and keep it there so it wasn't stretchy. But she chewed through the rope. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, it's this. Slightly I don't know how she chewed through the rope
with her teeth.
But she shouldn't have been able to get her teeth down that way. I have no idea how.
She's a cat. Cats are flexible.
Yeah, but she probably pushed it out with a paw and then done it.
She wasn't that bad, actually. I mean, she didn't, constantly, pick at her stitches or anything like that. So we ended up, not worrying about it and just keeping a close eye on her.
Yeah.
But she didn't touch her stitches at all, which was great.
Oh, good for her.
And she healed really nicely. Mm-hmm. Of course, she had two operations back-to-back before the last trip, which was, she had one just before DaveCon and then one just after.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Which was, she'd been spayed afterwards.
Yeah. But she's a veteran new event.
Well, no, she's done one.
Yeah.
And we still can't get her in the harness. We have three harnesses, three different variations of harness for cats.
Yeah.
And we don't know if any of them fit because we've never managed to get any of them on her.
When we got the harness for Bear, we thought that was going to be an issue. So what we did was we made a big fuss of him, get the harness on him, and just made massive fuss of him. And then every day he had to get his harness on before he went out in the garden so that he could strut up and down and show off to people. Look, I have a harness. Look at me, harness boy. And that was it. You just had to appeal to his vanity. So I don't know. I don't know how that would work with Mooncake. You might just lose a hand.
Mooncake doesn't have vanity.
She doesn't have vanity. Doesn't have vanity. Doesn't have a harness on either.
She doesn't have empathy either.
Yes.
And to answer your question, Mia, yep, that is me behind you.
That is you,
and,
yes.
And it's Amelia between us.
It's Amelia, you're there, yeah.
And Sandrine right next to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Sandrine's right next to me there, yeah, so she is.
She's just in front of me.
So the wee people in the front, like, there's myself, and there's Beetlejuice on the other side, and I think that lady's called Jill.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who the lady with the kind of reddish top on is, but it's all the wee people in the front, in mm-hmm. front of the biggest people we could possibly find.
Yeah, and Zulu Romeo in front of you all.
It is. It's well, like, and Richard, with that apron on, we just all look very hobbity.
I like that photo.
Yeah,
it is a good one.
That's a good bunch of people right there.
Yeah. And there's Baz and Ali in the front as well. And oh, Flossie's there. There's Flossie yep. right next to the special effect people.
Mm-hmm. Right in front of Sandrine.
Yep.
Right in front of Sandrine. Look, you can see everybody.
You can.
It's a nice photo.
Yeah.
I like it. Good memories,
loads
too.
Of people in, yeah, those big group photos are always brilliant.
Yeah, they are.
That's nice.
I'm really looking forward to DaveCon.
No DaveCon.
I bought a couple of old laptops, which was less than £100 for a pair of them.
Whoa!
I know.
Are they running Windows 95?
They had Windows something on them, like I don't know, 10 maybe. I've already got rid of one of those. I put like a Linux Mint on the first one.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so that is a couple of demo units for the thing I said I was going to bring to ECM.
Oh, yes.
They're not very powerful. I found it was like slow, like Type 9 level slow.
easy, watch yourself.
You insult the Mamba, you get.
I didn't insult the Mamba. I love the Mamba. I think the Mamba received very, very, very positive comments.
I didn't insult the Mamba. I was merely pointing out very real flaws.
Yeah, like a big hole behind the pilot seat. There was a hole in the floor. She pointed it out. It's fair enough.
Yeah, you pointed out there. Well, there is. There's even a ladder that goes down there. It's like an access little corridor.
What, to the outside?
I think it actually. Well, it certainly would go to the ramp, but I think you can go down there. There's got like some internals you can fiddle around, and it's got the ladder that goes up to the passenger seat.
Yeah,
Really good view from the passenger seat, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I always thought. That would be amazing.
Yeah, as you probably know,
so the laptops,
the Mamba's one of our favourites. I like Ferdelance flight model, and of course the Python too.
I've never flown it.
Oh, you need to get it out.
Mamba's really good. The key, as we've been taught several times by one of the best commanders in the galaxy at doing it, you need to use your landing gear to boost. That's how you turn a Mamba.
The Mamba was originally designed as a racing ship. That's why it's got a decent sized hull, but two massive thrusters on the outside, because it was for
it doesn't turn very well without doing that, and it turns incredibly well when you do that, because it's got one of the best boosts in the entire galaxy. So
yes. Yeah. So hit the boost button and then put your landing gear then?
Yes.
Is that how it works?
Yep, exactly like that. Yeah, so when you do it, so when your landing gear comes out, it doesn't matter how far it's out, if either it's on or it's off.
Yeah.
While it's deployed, you get very, very good lateral thrust, and during the boost, you've got the full turning. You can flight assist off and spin around. You can flight assist on and redirect it anywhere you want using the sideways and the lateral and such.
Mm.
It's that's how you fly a Mamba. It helps to fly any ship that way, but especially with a Mamba, because the boost is so powerful and so long.
I would just die in a ball of fire if I tried that stuff. But
you don't have to like boost into the station.
Yes, I would still no. I could be in empty space and I would die in a ball of fire if I tried that stuff.
As I mentioned the other week, So I'm making a puzzle game. I've got a couple of laptops as demo units.
Yes,
anyone's welcome to sit down and try it.
But here's the thing: see if they're on. Like you're saying, these are low powered laptops. If this puzzle game works on a low powered laptop, that increases the amount of people that can use it for everybody.
Hmm. Yeah, so I got it running reasonably when I turned off specular lighting. I optimized my existing lighting a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
It started running pretty reasonable. If you load a 9x9x9, like as in a kind of Sudoku sized puzzle, then
yeah,
that's about its limit once it's got specular off.
Yes, okay. Yeah, okay.
Whereas my dev laptop handles that no problem. So its shader fill rate is a bit crappy. But yeah, no, they'll work as demo units. Yeah, everyone will be able to have fun with those. So.
Yeah, awesome. That's good. Yeah. Your laptops are under 100 quid. How? And I know they're old and I know they're a bit,
I went on Galbay. I looked for, I narrowed it down by screen size. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to get 17 inch screen for that price. But I got 15 inch, just 15 and a half.
That's
so
that's
pretty good. The much of the cheap price, especially on one of them, comes from the fact that there is a massive burn mark across the outside of the lid.
Yes, okay. Which is cosmetic, I'm assuming. It's not come from the inside.
Yeah, exactly. Like I could print out a big Empire logo with A4 paper and just sellotape it to the back.
Yeah.
It'll look better than that.
A big, it's not any of it, it's Imperial. Your organization, it's Imperial
Navy Intervention and Rescue.
Yeah. You could just put that big logo on the front of each one.
Wait, we don't really have a logo. We just use the Empire logo.
Yeah, that'll do. Just make sure you get the right Empire.
There's another
Bindaloovian Empire?
I was thinking of the Galactic Empire from Star Wars. You don't want people finding an exhaust port in your laptop and blowing it up.
Either or, I could confuse everyone by printing one of each.
Yes. You should. You absolutely should. But there we go, yeah. I'm still looking at this picture and just looking for people I know.
It's a good picture.
It's an egg. Yeah, it's an excellent picture. Look at those beards. There's some gloves in there as well. It's not just hobbits, you know.
No, my beard's not that bad.
Yeah, no, yours isn't. But look at the guy behind in the back row. Proper nice beard.
Oh, that is a whopper.
Someone else's head.
No, it's.
No.
Oh, no,
it's your t-shirt underneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like. Right behind Jim with a brown shirt on.
Yeah, with the rainbow thing on it.
Yeah. Your eyesight's better than mine, so I'm going to go okay. And just to your right and behind, or to your left and behind you, is another beard on the go there.
Mm-hmm.
Sideways on.
There's quite a few in there.
Yeah. There we go.
All the beard.
Yes. And one troll, which is showy. he would like to be a troll.
I think it's probably time to bring the Beard of the Week show to the close, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's close on Beard of the Week. I'm getting too distracted. That's a problem.
Right. So, thank you, everyone, for coming. Thank you, listener, for listening. We can only apologise, but that's Mia's job. So,
yeah, we're sorry for everything you've heard and experienced in tonight's show.
Is anybody able to make a noise for a?
Yes.
Farewell. In that case.
Oh, yes.
For those who don't know, turn your headphones down now.
Father Mug!
Father Mug!
Father Mug.
Mug, 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 mug.
Muggity, 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 muggity.
Mug.
Journey too long, or cargo too small. Profit margins never really mattered at all. Gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We're taking anything, anytime, anywhere. Loading all the teen out to the brim with the rest for the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Yeah, everybody's seen the trucker's song. Thank you. Posse always seems to crash into the sun. Skibble ice, the pilot on the Xbox One. Having out the free, you know he leads us well. Trucking across the galaxy, now everybody yell for the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Everybody's seen the hurting trucker's song. For the more.
For the more.
For the more. You know just where we're coming from. For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
For the more.
Everybody's seen the hurting trucker's song. Give me a large path that I can land on, and I'll give you cargo and sing you my song. No point 22 light years to go, cruising to no journey too long, no cargo too small. The profit margins never really mattered at all. Gonna take the cargo where it's needed today. Super cruising all across the Milky Way. We're taking anything, anytime, anywhere. So shout it out loud, like you don't even care. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more,
for the more,
for the more. Everybody sing the hurting trucker's song. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Yeah, you know just where we're coming from. For the more,
for the more,
for the more,
for the more.
Everybody sing the hurting trucker's song.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. Everyone's buggered off now, so why don't you bugger off too?